you were aiming to reach 30,000 when you went out for your pledge for support from your community. How did you go with that?
I went okay. I'm still going.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Probably the short answer. I got to 20% of my goal in, I think it was the first 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I think that's the way I've been thinking about it, is there isn't really a bench for this stuff. So there's no real measure on, like, did it work or not.
Yeah.
Having it as an annual goal helped me launch it, because there was no expectation on my side that I would reach $30,000 overnight. And even just the amount of listeners I have, I knew how many people I would need to donate how much in order to get there. So I was quite specific with that messaging.
Yeah.
As well, because I keep saying, like, offline isn't strategic. I do really feel like it comes through me a little bit, but then as I apply myself to different types of commercial models, I am getting a little bit more strategic with that. So I'm a little bit over 20% now, but I'm also thinking about, will I push and try and raise quarterly or before I launch a new season, and just being remaining really transparent with how much it costs me to produce.
Yeah, because your first...
that it just pays for itself. I'm not actually earning.
And yes, because you were saying the first series cost you $16,000 of your own, you know, hard-earned cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a conversation I had with my husband before I left my job, was, you know, what are we both willing to put behind this?
Yep.
To give it a go. And, you know, it's very unlikely in media today that you can have a client fund something that hasn't launched before. I think that we have always had ambition for that, but certainly in the businesses that I was in, we weren't very successful with getting sponsorship of stuff that hadn't launched. And so I kind of have that in my mind as well, to say, like, I also want to be held to any minimums. I want to be able to put this out there in a way that feels pure and true.
You've had a phenomenal amount of downloads. How many downloads have you had since you've launched?
Do you know what? This is the best thing. I'd have to look that up for you. The last time I looked was close to 250,000.
Oh, my God, Alison, that's awesome. Because do you realise the average podcast, like if you get 3,000 downloads, you're already in like the top 20% of podcasts.
Oh, duh. This is amazing. Yeah. But this is what I was going to say is incredible, because I'm looking at new ways of monetizing it. I'm not held to the audience size.
Mm.
And so I don't look. And I know that sounds kind of bizarre, because I can, and I do every now and then. And sometimes some guests want to know how many people listen, and that's fair enough. But the whole point in having a donation strategy and then also thinking about what monetization could look like outside of the podcast, because I think offline is a platform and a brand exists, I don't actually need to hit a minimum, and I don't have an audience target in mind. And that was a big part of it, was saying no to those traditional metrics and saying, if I could put something out there that was value-based, if only 100 women listened to it or 100 people listened to it and it changed their lives or impacted them in some way, then by my own definition, that's successful.
Yeah.
So it's been very freeing coming out of a digital media job where every bloody page view was important, to going, you know what, I'm just going to turn away from that, be a little bit more heart-led, produce something that I, you know, there's that beautiful saying about, to want to create, you want something to survive you. And that was kind of my North Star, you know, like, when I'm said and done and I'm gone, this is going to exist, and it's going to be my voice and my name and what I want it to stand for. And so the audience size doesn't matter. It's very freeing, I have
yeah.
to tell you, because, you know, being in media,
yeah.
that's the core metric.
And in terms of the actual catalyst for asking for financial support from your community, I know obviously you made that initial investment yourself. What was the point that made you come to feel okay to venture out there?
It would have been the shape of the clients and the asks that were coming in for ads. So I had always said to myself, and this is the thing, is I may need to do a better job on messaging this actually, but I've never said no to reading ads. I've just said, I want to wait for the right client set to come forward.
Mm.
Like if there's a brand or a product that helps women explore self, then I am in. Like if you're going to be additive and we can have a true collaboration, then I absolutely want to work with brands in that capacity. And that's the thing about podcasting, isn't it? Host read ads, it's very personal.
Yes.
Because not only am I selling my product, I'm selling my voice, which is my product.
Yes, absolutely.
But so in terms of the catalyst for going down the donation road, I wasn't satisfied with the client set and the asks weren't, I guess, aligned with how I wanted to read ads.
Yep.
And think about commercializing the podcast, because as with any new media product, and like podcasting isn't new, but you know, it's having a bit of a hot moment.
Yes.
At the moment. So it tends to be that whatever's been done before is what you do.
Yeah.
And so challenging that has been a big goal of mine, of saying, why? Why do I have to have three ads? Why one in the beginning, one in the middle, and one in the end? And why do I have to read your script? You know, so it's those things. And so that's meant that the right client has not yet come up. But I, you know, again, because it's value-based, like they will come. I know they will come and I have to believe they will come, because otherwise I'll go crazy.
Yeah, no, they will come. But how have those who you've said no to responded?
Yeah, that's been an interesting set of conversations. Look, I would like to think, based on my professional experience, I have credibility and I'm able to articulate in a room why.
Yeah.
So it's not just about me going, no.
Yeah, okay.
My podcast is too good for your product or your brand. It's not that at all. It's just being able to explain to them why offline exists.
Yeah.
And why I created it and what I hope to achieve. And then that we just don't align, and the way you want to buy is not aligned with my product at this time. You know, so I would like to think that the conversations have been very respectful mutually.
Yeah.
And I've always, and I always do leave the door wide open to say, like, if it could work another way, I'm right here.
Yeah, you okay.
And I'm absolutely ready and willing to have those conversations. But it's like it has to be a collaboration, especially I think in podcasting is a very intimate medium, but also in a podcast like mine where the guests are putting forward their deeply personal stories, and so I have a duty of care to hold them right.
Yeah.
You know, and respect what they've given me and therefore given the audience. And so, you know, some of the ad tech is complex in that I can't always guarantee where the ad read will come in.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's one road that says when the most people are listening, the ads run. And so, you know, for offline, a lot of the time the most people are listening when someone's crying. And so it doesn't make sense for me to come in over myself crying with an ad.
Yes.
So, and these are the things I'm thinking about. Like, I think pre and post role, there's a world where that makes a lot of sense. I'm really interested in codes and discounts for listeners that will help them explore self. So whether it's a course or, you know, it could be a product or anything that's going to help them on their way.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because it feels personal to offline listeners as well. Like,
yeah, that's true. It's yes. Yeah. It's specific to them as the community and an opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Has there been a GoFundMe campaign that you've supported that really stood out in your mind?
Oh, gosh, you're asking the wrong person because I just donate every other day. Tony's like, what are all of these?
I love it.
So, no, I couldn't say there's one in particular. I generally will only donate to charities as gifts for other people as well.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, for my girlfriends who are having babies at baby showers, I'll do a World Vision, send a girl to school for $100, or I'll buy clean water or... but in terms of GoFundMe, no, I mean, any of my friends that are getting involved in a charity, I will tend to support them. I see those ones on Facebook. But no, you know, I have that whole belief that every act of kindness is preserved by the universe forever. And it's not why we do kind things, but it certainly helps me remember, like, just continue to give.
Yeah.
you know, and you'll always be held in the divine presence type thing. And
yeah, and it's a circle, like, isn't it?
It really is.
And, yeah.
I think, you know, for the most part, while I keep saying I've never felt more professionally fulfilled, but I've never been broker.
Yeah.
I'm still extremely privileged.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still in the position where I'm able to give. And so other people are giving to me to help me fund my, you know, I think this is much more than a passion and love project now, but it certainly started out that way. And so you've got to kind of close that circle and continue to give back as well. And that was one of the reasons why I said I would, and I will, and I am giving $1 from every donation will go to the Walkley Foundation Public Journalism Fund.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah, which is where I started my career again. So it's all full circle for me.
Yeah. You know, I think the future's very exciting for you. I think, you know, looking at your website and what else, the brand and the opportunities that are going to come to you, it's a very exciting time.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.